Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And the 1-2, swing and a drive hit well to left center field. Robles in the run, going back, way back. It is gone. Goodbye. A three-run home run for Carlos Gomez. He was not fooled that time. On the cutter left up, Gomez's first home run in the big leagues. He had six in Triple-A Syracuse, and it's happened again and again and again. A blown save for Suero here in the bottom of the eighth, a three-run homer, and it's now the Mets six and the Nationals four.
There you have it. That's the swing that did it again to the Washington Nationals. A late lead is coughed up in the eighth that leads to a 6-4 loss, back-to-back nights, and a four-game sweep to the New York Mets. Bob Trossett inside our NBC Sports Washington podcast studios with Tim Shovers, and joining us on the phone from Citi Field is Todd Divas. Todd, let's get right to it. 19-31 now overall for this team, 12 games under 500. Describe to us the mood in the clubhouse.
It was not good, and I would say a bit defiant. You know, there were several questions about why they think they can turn this around at this point. The math does not support much of a chance to turn this around. They have to play about 630 baseball the rest of the way just to get to 90 wins, which should be around the threshold for a playoff spot if you're an NL East team. And they are far, far, far away from that, especially with the current personnel. That question was put to Davey Martinez. Why do you think this will turn around? And his immediate response was, why not? Before he outlined where they are in the schedule, before he outlined his belief in the veterans in the clubhouse. That question was put to Brian Dozier. The number one thing he was leaning on was the schedule and kind of this idea that it's not too late in the season, despite it being 50 games into the season. And I think the obvious counter to that is you have all basically the same personnel at the root of your problems, in particular the bullpen that has blown it three different guys on three different nights here in Citi Field. Everywhere they turn, there's a new problem down there, and even closer Sean Doolittle was not immune to it during this series. And the bullpen's so bad that if you only have one person who you can trust and he doesn't get it done, and that's a very rare instance when he doesn't, then that's just going to feed into everything else. The already existing problems are only going to manifest further. And then you end up with a four-game sweep, which is what they had here. Let's go Mets chance as they're filed off the field. And let's not forget, this was a Mets team completely in disarray when the Nationals arrived here. They had their general manager holding a press conference before the series started to announce that Jonas Cespedes had broken an ankle. And to defend their manager, Mickey Callaway, who many thought was on his last leg before the sweep of the Nationals.
Todd, you've been adamant in these last few weeks about Davey's job security, basically claiming that, you know, it's not going to change anything, his firing, here in the short term. How do you feel right now after a four-game sweep, as you just mentioned, losers of five straight, and coming really just an hour removed from his ejection in the eighth?
Yeah, I think his leash got way, way, way shorter during this series. I think you can look directly at the night that Tanner Rainey blew it when we were here and his usage and everybody's usage in the bullpen, and look at the manager and say there was a lot of questionable usage there and wonder why he made the moves he made. The next night, you look at Sean Doolittle and how that played out. You don't blame the manager there. The maneuvers with the bullpen that night stacked up properly. They made a bunch of sense, but your best guy came in and got blown up. And it was, you know, just in 1% of Sean Doolittle's career outing has he allowed four earned runs or more, and one of them came last night. And then tonight you take the lead back, and then, of course, Wander Suero gives it back by giving up another home run. I don't know what you say there. That's more a personnel-related thing for me. But overall, now, you know, some of that rope that Davey Martinez had certainly evaporated here in New York. You have a weekend series coming up with the woeful Miami Marlins, a team that's not trying to win. And you could go into that series just a game and a half ahead of them with a very real chance of falling behind them and into the worst record in the National League, last place in the National League East, and have a $196 million payroll that is at the bottom of the league.
If you were a betting man, we're taping this on Thursday after the series sweep to the Mets. Is he the head skipper of this team Friday night?
Tomorrow. I would think so. I would definitely think he's going to get the Marlins series. They're going to see what happens there. Then you have two in Atlanta. Then you have an off day. So if even if you split maybe that next batch of six, I think he's in serious trouble. Anything worse than that, he's in major, major, major trouble. If somehow you get your act together in the coming week or so before a little break and before a reset when June starts, then we'll see. But again, I'll still say no matter what they do with the manager, this is 90% always to me on the players. You have a bunch of offseason signings, which have been beyond subpar, just not even league average guys, but some of the worst players at their position. Patrick Corbin and Kurt Suzuki are the only offseason signings you can look at and go, okay, those are working. Those guys are who we thought they were. The rest has been a mess. And then you had underperformance elsewhere. And of course, the bullpen is what it is, front to back, outside of Doolittle. That whole thing has been terrible the entire year. And we've talked about this a million times, right? Last in the league by a wide margin. It's not a narrow margin. It's a wide margin. And they just grew that margin again today by getting smacked around in the eighth inning.
There's no doubt that it's getting worse and worse by the day. Todd, on the ground in Citi Field in New York City and just outside there. Todd, thanks for your time and insight. We'll see you in less than 24 hours in Nats Park.
Thanks, guys.
Breaking ball, Kendrick started the bat. He thinks he checked, but the home plate umpire, Bruce Streckman, said he swung. And Kendrick saying you could have asked for help, but once the home plate umpire calls it, the at-bat is over, and somebody's just been ejected from the game. I don't know if it's Kendrick. Here comes Davey Martinez out to talk to Streckman.
Well, it's been a frustrating stretch of games, a frustrating series.
There and he goes. He's been ejected from the game. You can't blame him. Davey's going to kick some dirt, spike his hat, and this is as adamant as he's been all year.
All right, now I want to turn to you, Tim Shovers, because, you know, as someone who's known the game for a long time, been in this market, what is your gut telling you right now? What does Davey's immediate future look like in your mind?
Todd's there every day, and he was in the clubhouse all 4 days in New York, and I'm here in Bethesda, Maryland. But I disagree with him. I think Davey Martinez has managed his final game as a Washington National. I think if it is, he had a dramatic exit with the eighth inning ejection after the Howie Kendrick strikeout. But you look at this team, 12 games below 500, Bob. And as we've talked about, the only team that they're ahead of in the National League are the Miami Marlins. And we're basically a third of the way through the season. Now, in the era of two wild cards, that gives you an extra chance to maybe make a run at a playoff spot. But, you know, we're at Memorial Day now. And this team, I was talking to Chase Hughes in the outside the newsroom, and he, I think, said the right word. The situation is untenable. And I just don't think you can come home to this crowd in D.C. for a four-game series based upon the way the team has played without making a significant change. Now, I will say this, and I'll underline it, and I'll bold it, and italicize it. I'm not blaming Davey Martinez. I'm not. But there has to be some sort of change. And he's the easiest guy to make the change. You already did the pitching coach. This is the next step. And I would be, frankly, extremely surprised if he's managing Friday night against Miami.
How about today when he was ejected in the eighth inning after arguing Howie Kendrick's check swing called strike three? When he was ejected, bench coach Chip Hale, he's at third base, right? Because Bob Henley was at his daughter's graduation. So that meant that assistant hitting coach Joe Dillon was serving as the bench coach today, which essentially, well, that gave him his first career loss as a manager today, right? Because I mean, there was nobody there. So to me, it's like, is Davey trying to send a message? I don't know if I'd go as far to say that he wants out. But certainly, when you take a look at what he had to say postgame, which we'll do right now, it certainly was not pretty. And you could tell he was down.
I just didn't think he swung. And then we just got into it. All I did was just tell him to ask for help. I mean, that's why the first base umpire's there. And he didn't like it. So I did what I had to do.
frustration just from that moment, or
that's just in game, like, you know, I saw the swing, and I came back here to just kind of look at it, and he didn't swing to me. He didn't. And all he had to do was ask for help. If the first base umpire says he swung, so be it. But to make a call like that, to me, is, you know, that's why, like I said, that's why he's got a better angle on the swing than the umpire.
You know, Shohei, you've just noticed, though, during this series, he's almost always upbeat, right? He's mild-mannered, but he's upbeat. He's a positive guy. There's no lying. You can absolutely just hear it in his voice. He's got to be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, the actions during his ejection in the eighth inning were completely different than his normal manner that he conducts himself during the game. And I felt like he was blowing off a lot of steam. And I think he knew that today might be his last day as the manager. You know, we'll find out Friday.
Got a point towards the lack of offense, too, right? Just four runs across today. Left eight runners on base through the first six innings. That's been a key theme, especially in this Mets series. Juan Soto, though, just what was he away from today? What was that one hit that he was away from the cycle?
He was 3-for-3. He was a homer shy of the cycle, so usually the hardest one's a triple. He got the hardest part, but he didn't get the home run. But the men on base was everything today. The Nationals got to double-digit hits pretty early on in the game, but they had left seven men on base, stranded through four innings, nine overall, and you just can't do that. They had plenty of chances today to really blow this game open and get a big lead and give Strasburg an advantage, because Strasburg pitched really well, which he does now every single time out there, and they wasted another performance by Strasburg, and instead of being up 4-5-1, they instead... You know, we're down 3-1 after the seventh inning. Now, things, of course, got interesting in the eighth inning, which we'll get to, but way too many men left on base today.
Here's the Stras outing and the final line. Seven innings pitched, five hits, two earned runs, two walks, five strikeouts. 64 of his 101 pitches were thrown for strikes. And as you mentioned, he has been on a roll, right? Corbin has been on a roll for the most part. Scherzer just pitched his first scoreless outing a day ago. Suero comes in. The three-run homer, again, to Carlos Gomez. Not to him again, but back-to-back days, the long ball has really hurt this team. You know, it's unspeakable stuff. I mean, it's been something else to watch these games so closely like we have, because it's like deja vu, right? Gerardo Parra does his job in the eighth with the two-run single.
The eighth inning, we should start from the top. The eighth inning, okay. For those who missed it today, was absolutely insane. So, you know, the Nationals... They enter the eighth inning, they're down 3-1, and Strasburg's leaving the game after seven. So it's looking like, all right, now they're down two, and they got to go to the bullpen.
How do we get to Doolittle?
And so they score three runs in the top half of the eighth inning, but this comes after Howie Kendrick and Davey Martinez get ejected, and it's punctuated by Gerardo Parra knocking in two runs. They're down 3-2. He gets a single. Two runs come in, so now they're up 4-3. The entire top of the eighth was topsy-turvy. And then the bottom of the eighth, looks like Wander Suero's going to get out of trouble. Looked like he had some of his best stuff of the year on his strikeouts and nursing that 4-3 lead. Carlos Gomez comes up, who's hitting .077 this year, which is less than half of the Mendoza line. And then he rips a three-run bomb. And, you know, the air totally went out of the Nationals after that, of course.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and this was, remember, Davey was looking rather smart, almost like he lit a fuse, right, with this team, and they were able to rally that off and take the one-run lead into the bottom half of the eighth. But again, a deja vu type of feeling has been clouding this team for what seems like this stretch of games that's just amazing.
I mean, the last three games, so they lost four in a row in New York. The last three games, Tuesday night, they get walked off by an infield single, which I don't think I've ever seen before. And then Wednesday night, they go from leading 1-0 to down 6-1 over the course of three batters. Like, I had to re-look at the box score a few times today to remind myself how that was mathematically possible, but that somehow occurred against their all-star closer. And then today, they go from down 3-1 to up 4-3 to down 6-4 just like that. It just... A crazy series in New York.
I want to revisit a conversation you and I had a day ago on the post-game podcast. The theme was rock bottom, because I think you're looking rather smart right now with your take on that one. Because, I mean, look, this is uncharted waters for this team right now in recent memory.
Yeah, the last time they were 12 games under .500 was 2010, which 2010... to me is the last year where the Nats were sort of the, I know they played Nats Park, but like the RFK early Nats where they were kind of the holdover from the Expos, where they were talked about the same way we talk about Miami these days, you know, up until really to the end of 2011, 2012. That's where they're at right now. It might have been a mild take last night in saying rock bottom. I don't even think it's remotely controversial that they're at rock bottom right now.
I guess not, right? Because, you know, and I, my only argument to that, the rebuttal there was that, well, wouldn't rock bottom be last place in this division underneath lowly Miami? But then I'd almost go back and say, wait a second, the falling off process that this team is, has been on right now, it's a free fall, it's a plummet. And so I guess when you look at where this team has been since 2012 was the first division title, right? So over these last 7 years, the plummet that this team has been on, and such a quick plummet too, maybe that's what makes it rock bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can compare the Marlins in that situation, even though that they are in the same division, because life's all about expectations, and the two teams had wildly different expectations entering the year. I thought the Nationals were going to go to the World Series. All right, like 2 months ago, that's what I was thinking. And now we're talking here about a 19-31 team through 50 games. And by the way, with the Marlins, Caleb Smith, who pitches for the Marlins, would be firmly in the Nationals rotation right now. There are other players on the Marlins who would maybe be competing for roster spots if they were on the Nats. So we needed to have a cessation of the Miami Marlins jokes for the time being, because the Nats, they're in their area right now. They are miles away from the Phillies and Braves.
Game and a half separates Miami and Washington.
Yeah,
right
so
now.
That could be Saturday night. We could be going to bed with the Nats in last place, which, you know, would make the rock bottom even more obvious.
Marlins have won 6 in a row. Nats have lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, one thing I do want to remind people, by the way, speaking of the Marlins, where like everyone makes fun of them, how do you lose to the Marlins? How do you lose to the Marlins? I do want to remind people with baseball that horrible teams still win 60 games.
60 is looking steep right now.
60 sounds good.
Think about that.
This is a big stretch. I don't think the season's over for the Nationals. If we were in the era of just 2 or 4 teams per league, I would say that we're done here. But I do think that they can get back in it if they were to go on a run. Teams go from losing 5 in a row to winning 10 in a row. That happens. 4 games against Miami in the division. Then you play 2. You play the Atlanta for the first time this year. And then you play Cincinnati, who is better but under 500. Like there's some winnable momentum here, but it has to start Friday night because we're very close, Bob, from saying that this season's over.
Yeah, which is wild, right? Because I remember just previewing a few days ago this 8-game set between the Mets and then the Marlins coming up this weekend. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is an opportunity maybe to take care of business. And then, hey, you go to Atlanta and you fight and scratch and claw down there. But, man, they got more work to do this weekend. So,
and to make matters worse, Kyle McGowan starting Friday night against the Marlins because with Jeremy Hellickson going on the IL and, you know, Eric Fetty is taking Anibal Sanchez's spot. So, you know, they don't have Scherzer or Strasburg pitching Friday evening to make matters worse.
Yep. So, well, that'll just about do it. The Nationals fall to 19-31, 12 games under 500, 9-17 on the road. The Mets, 24-25, 13-8 in the comforts of New York. Philly atop the division still at 28-21. Atlanta, 27-23.
And you mentioned that with the Mets.
Yeah.
Reminder about, you know, people say, well, this game doesn't matter because they play 162. Just reminder of how important every game is, where Todd talked about at the top. 4 days ago, Bob, the Mets were 20-25, and now they're just 1 game under 500. If they had gotten swept in the reverse, they'd be 9 games under 500. Every day means something for a reason.
Wild. Yeah, it certainly does. So, and they could have a couple more every day coming up here if they, you know, those everyday types of things, they got to make the most of those coming up with a 4-game set here as we creep on, really limp on, if you're the Nats, into Memorial Day weekend. Reminder to check out the Wizards Talk podcast. They've been cranking them out with Bradley Beal's all NBA news, meaning he did not make that squad. And then, of course, Elena Deladon.
Emergency pod for Bradley Beal.
Little emergency pod. You've been busy, Tim Shovers, as have we all. Today was crazy in our newsroom. And, boy, just what even is an offseason? Not around here. And additionally, Elena Deladon. On Wizards Talk will be released on Friday as well, the center for the Mystics. So for my guy Tim Shovers, for Todd Dybas up there in New York, headed back down to D.C. as we speak, I'm Bob Trossett signing off from another edition of the Racing Presidents podcast. Stay with us, Nats fans.
Now the set by Gesellman. Here it comes. Swing and a line drive, one hop. Base hit into center field. Robles scores from third. Rounding third is Gomes coming home. And rounding first and holding there, clapping his hands, waving to the dugout, is Gerardo Parra, who's had nothing but big hits since he's become a National. And this is a pinch hit, two out, two run single in the top of the eighth inning. That has given the Nationals the lead. Three runs home in the inning. It's now Washington 4, New York 3.